स्यादं कुर्वन्गीतां रतं दधं लोकत्रयोपकाराय तस्मै कृष्णात्मने नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम बैक टू अभगवीता भक्ति शास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर नाउ कमिंग टू द लास्ट पार्ट ऑफ द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर। लेट्स स्टार्ट आवर डिस्कशन विद 6.37 ऑनवर्ड्स। सो अर्जुना has asked first a question that how does one deal with the mind? The mind is so troublesome. And Krishna has told him, we deal with it with patience, with persistence and detachment. So abhyasa and vairagya. Now Arjuna gets a question, okay, it may be possible, but that may take a very long time. And what if one starts a process and is not able to complete it? What happens to a person who takes the path of yoga, but then later gives it up? That will be talked about in the next verse. So, let's move forward, we'll discuss it. So, 37 to 45. This is the question answer of Krishna and Arjuna. 37. Arjuna vacha yati hi shraddhayo peto yoga chalitamanasaha aprapya yoga samsiddhim काम गतिम कृष्ण गच्छति। सो अयति ही श्रद्धयोपेतो। सो श्रद्धयोपेतो, वन हैड श्रद्धा एंड वन एंगेजेस इन द प्रोसेस, बट देन अयति ही, वन इज अनसक्सेसफुल। यति कैन मीन रेनसिएट, यति कैन मीन ट्रांसेंडेंटलिस्ट। सो द ट्रांसेंडेंटलिस्ट अयति ही, दैट मीन्स इट डजंट परसीवियर, डजंट कंटिन्यू इन द पाथ ऑफ ट्रांसेंडेंट। Why? Yoga chalitamanasaha. So the mind becomes deviated. This is the connecting link. The whole chapter has been about the mind in many ways. It is about, of course, Ashtanga Yoga. But within Ashtanga Yoga, the essential thread of thought is how to control the mind. So yoga chalitamanasaha. Then what happens to this person? Aprapya. Because the mind gets deviated. So chalita is also related with the word chanchala, chala. So chalita, the mind goes off. So chanchala refers to restlessness. The mind goes here, the mind goes there, it's restless. But chalita manasa means just goes off completely and drags a person also off from the path of yoga. On the path of yoga, sometimes our mind may go to some sensual activities. But if it doesn't take us off the spiritual path entirely, then that is just a mental deviation. But here Krishna is talking about a person who leaves the path of yoga entirely. Yoga chalita manasaha. If such a person aprapya yoga samsiddhim, such a person does not attain samsiddhi, perfection on the path of yoga. So then, kam gatim Krishna gachati. What will be the destination of such a person? So Krishna, here Arjuna is using this intimate form of address, Krishna. Krishna, what will be the destination? Kam gatim. What will be the destination of such a person who is unable to attain success on the path of yoga? Yati shraddhayopeta. So one who is not successful but one gets deviated. So Prabhupada explains that in the purported talk quotes from 2.40 where Arjuna has been assured earlier by Krishna that on the transcendental path, there is no loss or diminution. Neha abhikrama vashosti pratyavayo na vidyate. That neha abhikrama, diminution or loss. One doesn't lose it, nor does what in attitude get decreased. So, that is what is going to be, how that happens, that is going to be the question that will be discussed over here. The preliminary characteristic of that there is no loss, has been mentioned. But now there will be a more systematic elaboration. And Prabhupada talks about how this is applies to, so he says, self-realization is sought by the path of knowledge, by the practice of Eightfold System, or by Bhakti Yoga. So these are the various processes of transcendence. Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. Now either way, one has to realize oneself spiritually. So how does one do that? That is by spiritual practice. So in that one may not be able to continue it. So what happens if one is not able to continue it? So at that time, it's describing the next verse. Arjuna continues the question, clarifying it. So he describes how such a person who is trying to progress on the transcendental path, what happens to such a person? So the first most important point is that the person gets deviated by the mind and is unsuccessful in the path of yoga. But thereafter, what is the net result of that sort of deviation? Arjuna gives an example to illustrate this. Kachinno bhaya vibhrashtas chinna brahm iva nashyati apatishto mahabaho vimudho brahmana pathi. Kachin no ubhaya vibhrashtas. Ubhaya vibhrashta means from both paths one is deviated. Chinna brahm iva nashyati chinna abhram. So abhrama is like cloud. Chinna, chinna is separated, torn apart. Such a person becomes, this is a torn apart cloud, gets nashyati, gets destroyed. Similarly, apratishto. Apratishto means without any foundation, without any base, without any position. Mahabaho. Vimudho brahmana pathi. Isn't such a person become vimudha, one who is on the path of Brahman. Pathi. Pathi is path. Brahmana is the path of transcendence. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are many places where metaphors are drawn from nature. So here there is a metaphor that is drawn. There are two clouds, say. One cloud is moving in one direction, another cloud is moving in another direction. Both clouds are moving in the sky. Now, within this array of clouds, say one small cloud breaks apart from that array. And it wants to move from, so these two clouds are moving apart like this. And one array of cloud wants to, breaks apart from this and wants to come to this side. So while it is trying to move in this direction, at that time, a sudden gust of wind comes along and blows the cloud away. So this tiny cloud, tiny part of a cloud, it has broken away from one piece of one cloud formation to go to another cloud formation. But it has been blown away before it can reach from the first to the second. So like that, there is one group of people who are on the path of karma and there are another group of people who are on the path of moksha. People who are living in the worldly life and there are people who are pursuing the other worldly goal. So those who leave the worldly life and seek the other worldly goal, they want to join from this group to that group. So they are like this riven cloud, a part of a cloud that has come out from the remaining. Then what happens to them? So if because of some rhythm, yoga chalita manasaha, they are unable to continue on the path to transcendence, then what happens to them? Will they not become a pratishtha? No, either at home nor at some other shelter. So one is lost completely. So will this be their destination? Arjuna is asking. So Brahmanapati. They are all on the path of transcendence, but they become vimudha. They become deluded on that path. And Krishna assures Arjuna intensely, it's not just a theoretical abstract question. It's a serious question because we are going to stake our life, our future on our spiritual practices. So what is going to happen? So he asks in the next verse. Etanme samshayam Krishna chetum arhasya sheshataha tadanya samshayasyasya chitta nahi upapadyate. So etan me samshayam Krishna, this is my samshaya, this is my doubt, and then chittum arhasya asheshataha. Chittu means to break apart, to destroy, to dispel, as Prabhupada. Arhasi, I request you, it behooves you to do that. Asheshataha, completely remove this doubt. And then, I say, somebody else can also remove this. He says, no, you are the supreme absolute truth and you have the highest knowledge. Therefore, tvat anya samshayasya asya. Apart from you, this samshay, chetta nahi upapadyate. There is no one who can remove this samshay. You are the only person who can remove it, therefore I beg you to remove it. So now this is a three-verse sequence which is in a question format. In fact, This is the, in many ways, the longest question that Arjuna will ask Krishna. In the 10th chapter also, he requests Krishna to show his glory. That time also, yeah, there are several verses which come as a question. But among them, these are a three-verse sequence is the longest in the Bhagavad Gita. So, this similar three-verse sequence will come elsewhere also. But it's significant that Arjuna has a question and his question itself goes on for three verses. So now after describing this, etanme samshayam, this is my doubt, and Krishna, you alone can remove it. Just as it is described by Acharya in 2.7, 2.8, that 2.7 when Arjuna surrenders, that he says that, pichhami tvam dharma sammoodha cheta, I ask you for what is truth. And then he emphasizes that, ups the ante of that request, the intensity of that request, he raises it by saying, actually apart from you, he says, nothing else from enlightenment, apart from enlightenment will solve my problem. Nahi prapishyami mapanutya, that's what it describes in 2.8. Similarly, he says that, apart from you, no one can remove this doubt. So Prabhupada quotes how Krishna is omniscient and therefore he is capable of answering all questions. So now Krishna's answer starts from 40 and goes on till 45. And 46 and 47 is like the conclusion of the chapter. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Parthanaiveha Namutra Vinashastasya Vidyate Nahi Kalyana Krit Kashchit Durgatim Tata Kachyati O Partha Naiveha Namutra. So Arjuna, Krishna addresses Arjuna in a very intimate way. O Partha, neither here nor in the next world. Iha Amutra. Iha means in this world. Amutra means in the other world, next world. Vinashastasya Vidyate. Such a person will never meet with destruction. Nahi Kalyan Krit Kashchit. One who tries to do good, Arjuna, one who tries to work auspiciously for others, Nahi Kalyan Krit Kashchit. Durgatim Tata Gacchati. The person will never meet with an inauspicious destination. Tata. Tata refers to, it's again a very intimate form of address. Very intimate form of address. Tata. Durgatim Tata Gacchati. So, oh dear Arjuna, that one who tries to do good will never meet with evil from anyone else. That person will never be overcome. The same theme of compassion, of Krishna's compassionate assurance, compassionate and categorical assurance, will be repeated in 9th chapter when Krishna will describe, especially for the bhaktas, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. My devotee will never perish. So, of course, Krishna has not yet talked about devotion very explicitly in this chapter, but he is talking about, in general, transcendentalists. And he is saying that, Nahi Kalyana Krit Kashchit, one who is doing good, oh my dear Arjuna, one person will never meet with all evil. It's a very heart-touching statement, this one, assurance. And to make the assurance more reassuring, Krishna uses the very endearing form of address for Arjuna. Tata. Tata. Tata means a friend. Oh, Tata is an intimate form of address in Sanskrit. Durgatim Tata Gacchati. There is no Durgati such a person. So, when people are in anxiety, we can give them philosophy to help them deal with the anxiety. But along with that, philosophically helping them, we also have to emotionally solace them. So, before Krishna gives Arjuna a clear philosophical answer, first thing that he does is gives him an emotional assurance. Things will be alright. They will improve. Things will become, don't worry about it. So when he gives an assurance, that's what enables Arjuna to calm down. And then once that assurance is given, then Krishna goes forward and talks about further philosophically explaining what will happen to such a person. So Prabhupada, this is the third time Prabhupada is quoting in this Bhagavad Gita purport, 1.5.17. This verse in Narada's instructions to Vyasadeva about how one who gives up prescribed duties for the sake of devotional service isn't perish. On the other hand, just doing prescribed duties without taking devotional service is of no use from the transcendental perspective. So Prabhupada here goes into elaborate categorization of human beings. And he says, humans, can you classify into two sections, regulated and non-regulated. So what is regulated? Those who follow scriptural regulation. Non-regulated are those who live simply for fulfilling the animal propensities. And then he talks about, among the regulated, there are the karmakandis, and then there are the jnanakandis. The karmakandis want to enjoy material prosperity through religion. And there are the jnanakandis who aspire for liberation. And then there are the bhaktas. So, karmakandi, so then sakam and nishkam. And then Prabhupada talks about how sakam is not auspicious. The only auspicious activity are those which lead one to liberation. So why is Prabhupada giving this categorization over here in this purport? Because he is explaining what kalyana krut is. Kalyana means auspicious. So what is auspicious activity actually? Actual auspicious activity is that which is aimed for liberation. Any auspicious activity is not aimed for liberation is not at all auspicious, Prabhupada writes. And Krishna has talked about this earlier also in 2.49, where he has said, Dhurena hi avaram karma uddhi yoga dhananjaya uddhav sharanaman vichya kripana phalahetavaha. So in 2.49 he has stated that Dhurena hi avaram karma. Avaram karma, give up inauspicious work. And what is this inauspicious work? He has explained it to be the practice of karma kanda. So we would think inauspicious work as sinful activities. Yes, that's definitely inauspicious. But even the practice of dharma for the sake of artha kama, that means karma kanda, that is also considered inauspicious because that is not aimed for liberation. Material existence itself is ultimately inauspicious, and one needs to come out of material existence. And that happens when one practices serious devotional service. So, serious spiritual life in general, and devotional service is the best method of practicing spiritual life. So, here, give up inauspicious work. And now Krishna will go into specifics. So, first he'll describe the generic principle. Yes, they will not be auspicious. Now he'll describe the specific. Let's look at 41. Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashvati samaha shuchinam shrimatam gehe yoga bhrashto abhijayate. So prapya punya kritam lokan, those who have done punya, so those lokas, the lokas for those people, which are those lokas? Those are the heavenly planets. So the abodes of the pious people are the heavenly planets. So the bhaktas will attain that abode. Prapya punya kritam lokan. And then, ushitva shashvati sama. They will stay there for a long time. Shashvati sama, long, long time. From the point of view of earthly beings, the lifespan of the heavenly residents is enormous. It appears it is so great as compared to that of earthly beings, that it many people consider it to be almost indestructible, forever. And that's why, in that relative sense, the heavenly residents are considered amara. They're not actually amara, they're not immortal. There are, in the scripture, there are described as four categories of being. There is Maratyaha, there is Amara, there is Chiranjeeva, and there is Nitya. So only Nitya are eternal. So Martyaha are the earthly living beings who have a short lifespan, 100 years at the most, maybe more in the earlier ages, but it's not long. Then there is Amara, those are the heavenly residents who have such a long lifetime as compared to earthly, that to many earthly people it appears forever, but it's not forever. Then there is Chiranjeeva. Chiranjeeva is those who live for one lifetime of Brahma. One day of Brahma. In some cases, the words are not fixed. But generally, it's one day of Brahma. In some cases, it may be one lifetime of Brahma also. But the point is that it's categorically longer than the heavenly lifetime also. And beyond that is Nitya. Nitya is eternal. That is Those who live in the spiritual world, they live forever. So, Krishna is telling that Shashvati Sama, those who go to heavens, they live there for a long time. And then after that, Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe. Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe. Gehe means in the houses. So, what kind of houses? Shuchinam Shrimatam. So, what is Shuchinam Shrimatam? Shuchi is pure-hearted. And Shrimata is wealthy. So these are the two advantageous families. How are these advantages? If one is born in a pure family, of the pious family, Shuchinam, then one has samskaras which are favorable for transcendence. And if one is born in the Shrimatam family, Shri is the goddess of fortune. Shrimatam refers to that is aristocratic, wealthy family. Then one doesn't have to struggle much for material existence. And by that, one can continue on in spiritual life steadily. Yoga brashto abhijayate, abhijayate. They take birth. So Krishna, Arjuna has used earlier the word yoga chalitamanasaha. Krishna is using here yoga abhrishto. So same point. Those who get deviated. Yoga brashto. So what happens to the Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe? Normally, in this world, people get distracted from spiritual life for many reasons. Among them, the primary are that either they are brought up with such an upbringing, they are in such a circumstance that it is very unconducive for spiritual life. It is very anti-spiritual. Their upbringing and things like that. Their culture is anti-spiritual. Or otherwise, they may be in a spiritual culture, but because they are so caught up in just struggling to maintain the body, that is difficult for them to practice spiritual life. So that is Shrimata. So that problem is, that means either one can have so many internal, see, there is the soul, and the soul has, can have mental obstacles to the practice of spiritual life, or can have physical obstacles to the practice of spiritual life. So physical obstacles can refer to the problems that one faces in terms of maintaining the body, making the arrangements for the bodily necessities. And mental obstacles can be the conditionings and the misconceptions that one has acquired during one's upbringing and because of one's cultural conventions and conceptions. So, now both of them can misdirect. So, Shrimatam prevents one from getting too many misconception. And Shuchinam prevents one from having too many struggles. And in this way, it's actually an advantage. Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Bhrashto Vijayate. So now we may wonder sometimes if a person is born in a wealthy family, a well-to-do family, Shrimatam, powerful, prosperous family, won't that lead to a sort of infatuation by wealth? Which can distract one from spiritual life? Yes, definitely it can. And in fact, Kunti Maharani also says in her prayers, in the 8th chapter of the first canto, that Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribhir. So, Aishwarya, wealth, is one of the opulences that can intoxicate a person and make one feel that I don't need God. Well, that is true. But here we are talking about spiritualists who have already developed a spiritual inclination. So because of their spiritual inclination, even if they get prosperity materially, that will not delude them. That will not distract them from continued practice of spiritual life. They'll continue on practicing spiritual life. Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Bhrashto Abhijayate. So this way the distractions are minimal for these two classes. Now here Krishna is talking about those who have made a little bit of spiritual advancement. See, normally when a person, why would Krishna, if somebody is wanting liberation, why would send such a person to heaven? The reason for that is that person has also the desires to enjoy heavenly pleasures. And because of the desire to enjoy heavenly pleasure, the person gets distracted by that desire. So if you have to understand that, ultimately, now we have to deal with our desires if we want liberation. There are two ways to deal with our desires. One is to indulge in them and get rid of them. and the second is to understand their futility and get rid of them. Both ways, one has to get rid of one's material desires in order to get to move towards to liberation. So, of course, it's not that indulgence in itself enables one to get rid of them, but indulgence along with the practice of dharma, indulgence with the dharmic environment, so by the practice of dharma, one is getting a higher taste. By indulgence, one is experiencing lower taste also. And when both are compared, one understands. This lower taste is insignificant. Let me focus on the higher taste. And that's how one transcends. But when that doesn't happen, that means a person is indulging but not doing dharma, then the person just, the lust and the greed and the anartha simply aggravate. But if a person is having the higher taste, is having the lower taste, and is still attracted to the lower taste, so much so that the person's attraction for the lower taste make the person give up the higher taste, then what happens to such a person? So, for such a person, Krishna says, okay, this is what you wanted to enjoy. This is what had distracted you from spiritual life. Fine. You take this and enjoy it. Whatever you want. And far better than enjoyments of this world are the heavenly pleasures. And the heavenly pleasures are last also for a long time, and their quality is much higher. Quality, quantity, longevity, all are much higher. And because the person has also got some memory of the higher taste, by the practice of devotional service, while on earth as a sadhaka, and because the person is in heaven, in an atmosphere that is overall dharmic, one gradually starts realizing the futility of heavenly enjoyment. So, Ushitva Shashwati Sama means, so a person is aiming for liberation but also has a desire for enjoyment. So, then the person is taken to heaven, and after the person goes to heaven, enjoys over there, then comes back and is born in an environment over here from which one can practice spiritual life. So, it's interesting that Krishna doesn't say over here that from heaven one can continue on. He says, after Ushitva Shashwati Sama, after staying in heaven, and the person will come back to Shushinam Srimatam Gehi, will come back to the earthly planetary system. So in general, the earthly planetary system is the Karma Bhumi. This is the place where our destiny is shaped. The other arenas in the universe are primarily meant for exhausting the karma which we have acquired over here. So in heaven, in lower planets, one is exhausting the karma. In higher planets, one is exhausting the punya. In lower planets, one is exhausting the papa. But either way, one is exhausting the karma which one has acquired while one was here on earth. And in this way, one moves on. So, the going to heaven is to cater to the desire. If somebody wants to practice spiritual life but also has a strong desire to enjoy the world, then that person is given the facility to engage in heavenly enjoyment by going to heaven, and then one comes back and continues on one's spiritual practice either in Shuchinam or Srimatam, in a prosperous family or a pious family. So now this is the first possibility, that one was practicing spiritual life but one had a lot of very strong desires to enjoy this world, so that person is taken to heaven. In Krishna, next verse, Krishna will describe the other possibility. What is the other possibility? That one has practiced spiritual life substantially. One has made a significant amount of spiritual advancement, but one is not able to complete the journey. That means that person doesn't become completely purified in order to go back to the spiritual world. So what happens to such a person? Athava yogina meva kule bhavati dhimatam etad didurlabhataram loke janmaya didrusham. So, athava means alternatively, yoginam eva. So, those who are yogis, kule bhavati dhimatam. They are born in dhimatam. So, dhi is intelligence, dhimatam means those who are endowed with intelligence. So, Prabhupada explained this refers to very advanced devotees in the family. Kule bhavati dhimatam, etaddhi durlabhataram. Durlabhataram is the very advanced devotees, and such is rare. Durlabha. Loke janmayadidrusham. So because such advanced devotee families are rare, therefore birth in such devotee birth in such families is also rare. Etaddhi durlabhataram. So Krishna is pointing out the good fortune of those who are born in such families. Because when a person is born in a devotee family, then actually the auspiciousness begins right from the birth, from the garbhadham. Not even from the birth, from the moment of conception, from the garbhadhan samskar onwards till even the food that the mother is taking is all prasad. Therefore the milk that the infant is getting, that is also prasad that is converted. Even what is nourishing the embryo in the womb, that is also all prasad. So then, practically speaking, the entire body of the infant is made of prasad. So that creates a very auspicious environment for the soul inside to practice one's spiritual life. So, etaddhi durlabhataram, this is extremely rare. This kind of janma, loke janma. Now it's interesting that Prabhupada puts himself as well as his disciples as his spiritual master in this category. Fortunately, both are spiritual master. Om Vishnupad Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj and our humble self had the opportunity to take birth in such families by the grace of the Lord. So now, it's interesting that Prabhupada has told on some occasions that he was in the spiritual world and that he descended from the spiritual world on the instruction of Krishna for writing the books and for sharing Krishna consciousness with the world. Now that being the case, if that is the case, then why is Srila Prabhupada placing himself in the category of those who take birth in devotee families and advanced dhimatam families? There's a reason for that. Now, first of all, Prabhupada is not saying that, explicitly saying that. He's saying that I or my spiritual master were deviated yogis, yoga bhrishta. That is not, the Prabhupada is not saying that anywhere at all. And he makes it very clear. He's also adding, by the grace of the Lord. So he's not saying, by our past spiritual practices we were born in devotee families. He's saying, by the grace of the Lord, my spiritual master and I, we were born in devotee families. Birth in such families, that is referring to advanced transcendental, dhimatam. So, sometimes devotees would speculate, you know, what was Srila Prabhupada's in his previous life? Who was Srila Prabhupada in his previous life? Or what is Prabhupada's swarupa in the spiritual world? So Prabhupada generally did not encourage this kind of speculation. Now, when Prabhupada was asked that Nikunja Yunorati Keli Siddhe, that there is this verse in our Guru Vashtakam that we sing, Mangalarti, that we all, that the spiritual master assists Radha Krishna in their pastimes by performing confidential service. So the question may come up, what does it mean? How does the spiritual master assist? So Prabhupada, when he was asked about his question, he simply said, none of your business, that's none of your business. And Prabhupada cut off. Prabhupada did not encourage this kind of speculation. There's one letter which comes in, which Prabhupada wrote, Tamal Krishna Mahara asked him, does the spiritual master know who he was in this previous life? And the devotees would ask indirectly. They did not ask Prabhupada, who were you in your spiritual life? So they would ask indirectly, but Prabhupada understood the question. Does the spiritual master know who is in spiritual life? So Prabhupada never made any supernatural claims. And he did not claim his authority came because of any supernatural visions that he had. So he just said nonchalantly that, I don't know, but an astrologer said like this. An astrologer said, Prabhupada just sometimes quotes an astrologer who did my horoscope, he said like that. But Prabhupada said that when he was asked about himself, he He said, from the disciples' point of view, it doesn't matter where the spiritual master came from, whether the spiritual master was Sadhana Siddha or Kripa Siddha. It doesn't matter. Sadhana Siddha, Prabhupada gave the example that if the father has now become a millionaire and is ready to give $1 million as an inheritance to the child doesn't have to bother whether the $1 million came to the father by his own hard work or they were just given as an inheritance by his ancestors. He got them some. He either got his inheritance or he got it by acquisition and accumulation. It doesn't matter. The same way Kripa Siddha means one who gets it by mercy. Sadhana Siddha means one who gets by sadhana. And Nitya Siddha is, of course, people who are eternally realized. So essentially there are two categories. There is Nitya Siddha and then the Sadhana Siddha. Kripa Siddha is also in the among the three categories. Kripa Siddha is extremely rare. But the point Srila Prabhupada is making is that if our spiritual advance is at master is more advanced than us, then he can guide us to spiritual success. Therefore, there is no need for us to bother how the spiritual master became so advanced. Is it because of being an eternal associate? Or is it because of being having advanced to become purified and perfected? So, one time a reporter had asked Srila Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are in your movement? Prabhupada asked one of the devotees, how many devotees do we have in our movement? The devotee gave some failure. So, that many pure devotees you have. So, the devotee started looking at you, they're pure devotees. Another time some devotees told that, Prabhupada told on devotees, you know, he told some of his disciples. He says, you know, you are eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya. So, devotees started thinking, we used to do so many things in our previous life, we never heard of Lord Chaitanya. So we were eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya, a little bit puzzled. And then one of them asked, Prabhupada, is it true that we are all eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya? So Prabhupada said, yes. And then he smiled and he said, everyone is. Prabhupada said, ultimately everyone is eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya. In all of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, whatever the Swarupa in the spiritual world, we are eternal parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. So, we shouldn't claim any spiritual status, special spiritual status, because of our past spiritual advancement. That's not the point. You know, if we have made advancement, then that should be seen in our commitment to practice, in our depth of understanding, and in the purity of our heart. So, rather than trying to go into these speculations, now who was Srila Prabhupada in the previous life? Is this Prabhupada trying to say, imply over here that he was a yogi, and that's why he was a yogi who could not complete his spiritual life, and that's why he was born in the next life? Or for that matter, what was Swarupa? Some people say that, because one time Prabhupada said that, I was thinking, what does this Krishna have in his lunchbox? Or I was imagining playing with Krishna in the spiritual world as he enjoys among the gopas. So some people made the speculation that Prabhupada is in Sakya Rasa and not in the Madhurya Rasa. And because Prabhupada is in Sakya Rasa, that's why he also had a Krishna Balram temple made instead of a Radha Krishna temple. And because Prabhupada is in Sakya Rasa and Madhurya Rasa is highest, so the next conclusion that comes up is that we need a guru who is in Madhurya Rasa. This kind of propaganda has come sometimes in this corner. It keeps coming. So one shouldn't give much credence to such things, because Srila Prabhupada himself did not make any explicit statements. And Prabhupada told us why he made the Krishna Balaram temple was. There might be summary, rather than trying to do a sort of, it's dangerous to try to do a post-mortem of a pure devotee's words and heart, to find out what the pure devotee's intention was. And we have to look at his words and try to understand based on that. So, if we look at the words, Prabhupada did say that, that the place where we got the Krishna Balram, the place where we have now made the Krishna Balram Mandir in Vrindavan, that place was Ramanreti, where Krishna performed pastimes with his gopas primarily. And so it's appropriate that there should be a Krishna Balram temple. and Prabhupada also said that in Vrindavan there are so many Radha Krishna temples. So we want our temple to be distinctive, and because it is in the land where the Sakya's pastime performs, so let's have a Krishna Balaram temple over there. And then beyond that, it's not that Prabhupada did not have a Radha Krishna temple. Now we have Krishna Balaram and we also have Radha Jamsundar. And of course we have Gaurnithai also. So the point is, there is sort of speculation is not there. Prabhupada is simply illustrating through this purport that birth in a devotional, in a devotee family is advantageous for spiritual advancement. And that's what he is, that's what is the main point. So beyond that, one doesn't have to try to speculate. Prabhupada did not encourage that speculation. So we can definitely for ourselves see the commitment of Srila Prabhupada. And in the advanced stage, he worked so tirelessly to practice spiritual life. And after that also, he continued till the last breath. And he has purity and potency. He transformed so many people. So that is what we should focus on. So now, after describing this, this is, he has described those who had done little practice of spiritual life, those who had done a lot of practice of spiritual life. Either way, what happens to them after that? Now they have to continue on their practice. So, let's look at the 43rd verse now. Atratam buddhi sanyogam labhate paurvadehikam etate chitto bhuyah samsiddhav kuru nandana atratam buddhi samyogam. So samyoga means connection. Yoga is connection. Samyoga means reconnection. So Prabhupada translates as a revival. Tatratam buddhi samyogam. So the buddhi refers not just to the faculty of intelligence in general, but it refers to the buddhi for practicing spiritual life. Tatra means in that life, wherever a person is born next, tam buddhi samyogam. That the buddhi for practicing spiritual life, one gets that. Labhate. And one once gets it, then what happened? Where has one got that? Paurva dehikam. What one had cultivated in one's previous life, one gets it in the next life. And then yatate chitto bhuya. One starts endeavoring again. Samsiddhav kuru nandana. Oh Arjuna, the person starts endeavoring. So we may wonder, we practice spiritual life, where is our spiritual advancement stored? Where is it stored? Now we obviously, if we store something in a bank or in a treasury, that is not going to come with us in our next life. Even if somebody stores anything, somebody even believes in reincarnation. Okay, I am keeping this portion of my inheritance for my next incarnation. But we don't know where we will be born. And even if we came to know, others will not necessarily believe our claims. If a millionaire is born somewhere else, it's unlikely that person, when it takes birth and goes back to the relatives and the acquaintances, says, I was that millionaire, all that money belongs to me. People will not accept that. So, but that is not the way the spiritual advancement is stored. So, buddhi samyogam. So, actually the attraction that we develop for Krishna on the devotional path is, in a sense, a revival of the original propensity of the soul. And because the same soul continues from one body to another, that reactivated spiritual attraction also goes on from one life to another. And in a sense, the subtle body also becomes purified. As the subtle body becomes purified more and more, one makes further spiritual advancement. And the subtle body also stays the same from one life to another. So our spiritual credits, like our karmic credits, are not stored in any physical form. They're not stored, they're not connected with the physical body. They're stored in within, deep within. And labhate paurvadehikam, one gets it from one's pure body because it is revived. And then one starts endeavoring once again. Now the important point is that revival, Krishna will give opportunity for that revival. But the soul, the sadhaka, has to personally choose to start that practice. Yatate. That's why it's not that just because one has gone to heavens and come back, and there is no more endeavor. Oh, now all temptations are gone, so now I can just straight away move ahead in spiritual life. No, the temptations will always be there and the battle will also be always be there. Yatate chitto bhuya. Again, such a person endeavors. And for what? Samsiddhav. for attaining success. And Prabhupada gives several examples of moving of spiritual advancement going over many lifetimes. And one example he gives in the purport is of Bharat Maharaj, who became a deer and then became Jad Bharat and then was liberated. So, Labhate Paurvadehikam. So, although Jad Bharat had been born in a Brahminical family and the Brahmanas were engaged generally in Karma Kanda, but Jad Bharat had enormous spiritual advancement. He had come from his previous life or second last life as the Bharat Maharaj, who had renounced the world and make a lot of spiritual advancement. And then Krishna describes, okay, what happens? You wonder how such a person gets that opportunity in the next life. Purva bhyase na te naiva priyate hi avishopi sah jigyasurapi yogasya shabda brahmati vartate. So purva abhyasa, by the practice, by the previous practice, te naiva, of that person, riyate hi avashopi saha, the person is attracted helplessly, riyate hi avashopi saha. And then jigyasur api yogasya, the person who is a jigyasu, the person becomes jigyasu, inquisitive about spiritual practices, and shabda brahma ati vartate, the person will go beyond the range of shabda brahma. Here the word Brahma refers to Vedic scriptures, especially the Veda Vyad in three modes. And Krishna has talked earlier about Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna. He has talked about it in 2.45 that the Vedas talk about three modes and I should go beyond the three modes. So here he is saying that Shabda Brahma Ati Vartate, the serious yogi will go beyond the range of Vedic sound. So the Vedas talk about dharma, artha, kama and occasionally moksha, but people are not attracted much to moksha, they are attracted to dharma, artha, kama only. So that is the shabda brahma, that is the range of the Vedic sound. But the yogi, because of attraction to spiritual principles, goes beyond the range of the Vedic sound. Shabda brahma ati vartate, goes far beyond that. So, purvabhyasena te naiva. By the past spiritual practice, purvabhyasa te naiva. Riyate hi avashopisa. It's interesting, Krishna is using the word avasha. Avasha is helpless. So, riyate hi avasha. Riyate is attracted. Attracted helplessly. Jigyasur api yogasya. The yogi who is jigyasu rapidly moves up. Shabda Brahma Ati Vartate. So, Purva Abhyasena Te Naiva. Purva Abhyasa means by the past practice. Labhate Paurva Dehikam. The same point is being made over here. So, actually, there are many people who have great attraction for spirituality, an attraction which they themselves can't explain. Where their attraction comes from, why they have the attraction. But just there, many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they were born in wealthy, prosperous families, well-to-do, but just tuck. They left everything to become attracted, to try to devote themselves to the Supreme Lord, to the search for the Absolute Truth. They did not know at that time they were going to devote themselves to the Supreme Lord, but they were in search of the Absolute Truth. And then, actually, riyate hi avashopi saha. And some people who just leave material life and seek spiritual life, and they feel as if they are being pulled. It's a jariyate avisho, avisho. It's a spontaneous attraction that is helpful, to which they are helplessly attracted. So actually, how does this happen? That is because it happens. It's because of past spiritual practices. So when we have practiced spiritual life in the past, then we're just not satisfied with material enjoyments. We want something higher, something greater, something richer. And that higher, richer, greater, that what it is, one may not know also. See, in some cases, like Gajendra, he had been a king and he had practiced spiritual life in the past. And then when he became an elephant, He lived like a typical elephant. At a particular point when he was in crisis, then he was suddenly able to remember not just the existence of a Supreme Lord, but he even started offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. And eloquent, profound, and potent prayers he offered. So how was that? You know, that was Puryate Vishopi. At that moment of crisis, the attraction to the Lord suddenly awakened. And along with that, the knowledge also came. So in some cases, specific knowledge may come. In other cases, specific knowledge may not come, but what may otherwise come is actually riyatehi avashopi saha. One just be attracted to the spiritual world. So generally, even the soul of a yoga brahmacharya, if that soul is very advanced devotee also, that doesn't necessarily mean that soul will be attracted specifically to Krishna. It's possible to Krishna, even if it's not specifically to Krishna, that simply means that person attracted to spirituality, and soon one understands what is that spirituality. One will inquire, and by the mysterious hand of the super soul, one will be directed towards Krishna. And once one is directed towards Krishna, one returns back to Krishna gradually. Shabda Brahma Ativartate. So Prabhupada quotes this interesting verse from the Bhagavatam, which we have discussed the fate of the deviated yogi in our Ishopanishad verses. So I'll not go much into the detail of that. But this verse is, Prabhupada quotes this verse or how even those who are low-born, they may also go beyond the range of Vedic sound. So, Shabda Brahma Ativartate. So, how they go beyond the range of the Vedic sound? Prabhupada gives two examples. So he says this, Aho Bacho Pachoto Garyan Jivvagre Vartate Namathubhyam Te Pustavasthe Jugusas Nurarya Brahmanuchurnam Granantiyete. So Aho Bacho Pachoto Garyan. How amazing it is that Shwapacha, those who are born in a dog-eating family, to Garyan. But actually, those who are born in such low families, but they are chanting the names of the Supreme Lord. Yajivhagre vartate namutubhyam. But your name is there on their lips. Te pustapaste juhusas nurarya. So they have actually done all other religious activities. And now they have come to the spiritual level. So whether it's bathing in holy places, performing austerities, studying scriptures, all these they have done already. And because of having already done this, they have come to the level of chanting the holy names of Krishna. What this means is that if somebody is chanting the holy name, that's a great, great fortune. And now it's possible that those who are chanting have already done all the rituals in their previous lives. Another way of understanding this is that the purpose of doing all other Vedic rituals, the Vedic dharma has karma marga, then there is jnana marga, then there is bhakti marga. So those who have actually done the karma successfully, only after that they will come to the bhakti marga. Karma marga, jnana marga, and then they will come to bhakti marga. So if somebody is in the bhakti marga, then they have already transcended by inference the karma and jnana marga. So, just like a person has $1 million, that means the person automatically has $5 and $10. The person doesn't have to separately strive to acquire $5 and $10. Because $1 million already includes $5 and $10. Similarly, actually, the practice of Bhakti Yoga is a superset that includes everything else as a subset. That's why it said, if somebody is chanting holy names, then everything else is already there for such a person. Now, of course, as bhakti sadhakas, we shouldn't become proud. Oh, I've already done all these rituals. No, we should also try to live according to the principles of austerity, if that is anukul to our bhakti. And this is not our matter of our pride, it's a matter of our fortune and our responsibility. Now, if you have done all that the other path, seekers of other paths have already done, then that means, you know, we shouldn't get allured by the things that allure other people. We should be able to stay fixed in Krishna, on Krishna. And then we'll make spiritual advancement steady. And Prabhupada gives example of Haridas Thakur also. Now the point of Haridas Thakur's example is what again? Shabda Brahma Ativartate. So, there was a famous debate between Advaita Acharya, between some smart Brahmanas, Gopal Chakravarti and Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur said that the holy name, the pious rituals can give liberation, but just a shadow of the holy name can give liberation. And the holy name gives something far greater than liberation. In fact, chanting of the holy name, the fruit of liberation is an insignificant result. And he gives scriptural pramana for this. And his opponents were so scornful and derisive that they said, if this is true, then let our nose fall off. And if it is false, then let Haridas Thakur's nose fall off. And what happened was their own nose fell off. And they were disgraced. So the point is that actually we have to recognize that those who are chanting the holy name are very special souls. And we have to honor them, respect them. And then we will move forward onwards in our spiritual life steadily. Shabda Brahma Ativartate. Spontaneously attracted. And this actually is very remarkable. How devotees in different parts of the world, whatever situations they were in, how they became attracted to Krishna is itself a remarkable story. And that's why how I came to Krishna consciousness. These are always thrilling stories because we see how Krishna's mercy reaches out to people in different parts of the world, and people reach out to seek Krishna's mercy in different parts of the world. And both of them indicate how this Shabda Brahma Pujriyate Hi Avishopi, a helpless attraction, works out. So now Krishna will tell in the next verse eventually how the yogi will attain perfection. Prayatna Itamanastu Yogi Samshuddha Kilvishaha Aneka Janma Samsiddhas Tato Yati Parangatim. So prayatna means endeavor, rigid practice. Yatamanastu, so one is endeavoring rigidly for a long time. Prayatna yatamanastu, then yogi samshuddha kindisha, the yogi becomes freed from all contaminations, from all impurity. Then anika janma samsiddhas, it may take several lifetimes. The yogi's determination has to be such that the determination should go on for several lifetimes. The normal, casual religious follower thinks that religion is a part of life. But one has to, a serious sadhaka, understand that life is a part of my religion. That means my religious practice may have to go on for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Not that bhakti is a part of life, but life is a part of bhakti. Anek janma samsiddhas, it may take many lifetimes, and then finally, tato yati param gatim. Then one will attain perfection. Now, what is that perfection? That will be described later. Krishna has mentioned it briefly earlier in terms of mat samstham adigacchati, coming and being next to me. But it will be gradually described. The important point here is aneka janma samsiddhas. It may take many lifetimes. So it is sobering conclusion to the section. But sobering as well as illuminating. Sobering because one understands it's a serious practice, one from which one can get deviated, and it may take many lifetimes of practice for one to attain eternal liberation. But it is also illuminating because one understands that actually one is never lost when one practices spiritual life. Even if one seems to be temporarily lost, one will find the way again, and our spiritual advancement will never be lost. It will stay with us, and we'll regain it, we'll reclaim it. As soon as we are born in a new body and some fortuitous, some circumstances come about through which our past spiritual inclinations are activated again. So in this way, sadhaka understands that it is a supreme fortune to be able to make spiritual advancement and return back to Krishna, over no matter how many lifetimes it takes. So when one has that determination, then that determination itself can accelerate one's spiritual struggle and practice. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, described how Mukunda, one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate, was punished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "You will not be able to see me for 10 million lifetimes." And actually, he was so jubilant. He said, "Just after 10 million lifetimes, I'll be able to see Lord Chaitanya." So, and he started dancing next to him. Only 10 million lifetimes. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this very optimistic attitude, only 10 million lifetimes. He said, "Oh, he's so optimistic. He has so much faith that for the sake of seeing me, he's saying 10 million lifetimes is nothing. Bring him here." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought him in his presence and gave him his mercy. So when one has the determination, no matter whatever price it takes, it's not too great. Actually, for the price of attaining Krishna, anything and everything is worth it. Because that attainment is so glorious, it is so wonderful, so fulfilling. Nothing like it. It is going to be forever and ever with us. So whatever the price, it's worth it. When one has that attitude, one makes rapid spiritual advancement, and one doesn't have to take any janma samsiddhis. Especially by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada, it's possible even in one lifetime that by religion practice, one can return back to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.